Welcome to the inaugural Tech Wrap. Mm. It sounds very official.
It sounds delicious.
It's with Trent and that guy over the other side of the table, although you can't see the table, is Will.
We can use our imaginations. Imaginations are powerful.
Yeah, you can come up with lots with your mind.
I'm coming up with these words as we speak.
Indeed. How about I do a bit of an introduction?
Yeah, tell us about yourself.
So me, I'm a broadcaster and tech commentator, as I tell people.
Wow.
I've got a website, trent.net.au. So during the day, Monday to Friday, I work in commercial radio, and I've got an on-air shift on a network feed. And I also spend time doing tech commentating. So I generally prepare some items which people can, call me up and discuss things about. So
Tech chats.
Technology chats, yeah.
Chat about tech.
So that's me.
And this is a wrap. And I'm Will.
And you're Will.
Yeah. So this is a wrap. It's a delicious wrap filled with tech goodness, maybe some interesting little tidbits we've sort of come across during the week.
Our thoughts on stuff that's going on during the week.
Interest. You'll be pulling some topics from stuff you've been talking about the week.
Yeah.
I've been taking some notes of things that I've found interesting and hopefully we'll be informing each other and
People should be able to get something out of this
I'm going to tell my mum about it, so that's one listener.
Oh, there you go. Well, that means two then, because I know someone who might listen to me.
Really? Is she cute?
Not my mum, though.
No.
Anyway.
Is she cute? It's a female.
No. Is it female? I don't know what gender it is. Hmm. Oh, no, that's wrong.
Oh, okay. Wow, is it an animal?
What's been making tech news this week? I think one of the big things that's been making news is the anti-piracy bill that the government introduced into the Senate.
Snuck that one through, didn't they? Like, it just kind of appeared and then happened. We found about after the fact, sort of, oh, this is passed now.
It happened during the quiet news cycle of overnight. So they passed it on Monday evening. And essentially what it is, it allows rights holders, so the people who create and distribute music, movies, software, etc., to be able to seek a federal court injunction against having the URL being accessible here in Australia. So essentially what they can do is they can get internet service providers to put a block, if approved at the Senate, at the federal court. If it's approved at the federal court, they can tell ISPs, we don't want you to visit this website. So something like...
So it's basically like a really super toned down version of this, the internet filter thing that they tried to pass ages ago. And
yeah,
like, this is an outrage. We'll never...
You could call it a toned down version of that because essentially that's what it is.
If someone chooses the websites, do they just pick and choose themselves? Or
the people who are concerned about their content being distributed illegally.
The movie companies and the TV companies will say, hey, this website... Say, what, Pirate Bay, I guess?
Pirate Bay is an example.
Probably top of the list.
I was trying to think of...
Most well-known one. Pirate Bay is distributing our content and we want it taken down. And they'll be like, radio, yep, fair enough.
And so the federal court can look at it and go, how serious is this? Is blocking access inappropriate for this website? And is it of public interest? And how many people will it impact? And if all those criteria are satisfied and they say, well, you know, Australia does not need to see Pirate Bay... Then all the ISPs have to implement a block so that the customers can't visit Pirate Bay. But the conditional thing on this is access to virtual private networks, VPNs, which people are using for Netflix these days. You can still use one of those to get through to a country that doesn't have a block.
Thus making it basically redundant.
A little bit
of like tech savvy and you've just worked your way around it completely.
And we've only talked about it for 2 minutes and we've already worked out a way of getting around it.
I assume businesses are going to crop up now, making it like more easy than ever, sort of VPN in 2 minutes, you know, fully self-contained software. You hit one button and away you go.
And you're done, yeah. And there's already sort of solutions out there which you can get. You just download, punch username and password in, and it does all the business for the computer and allows you straight through. So people are going to do that and just circumvent the whole idea of the filtering.
So what's next then? The laws blocking the use of VPNs? Is that what they're going to try and do eventually?
Anything's possible with this government, given the fact that they look at a country like the United Kingdom. That's where this has been modelled from.
Hmm.
They look at the United Kingdom's plans and just go, well, that looks good. Let's put it in. And they haven't really consulted with people who...
Did I get a vote?
Have the knowledge of it? No.
I think the biggest concern is like censorship.
Censorship.
Right? Of people.
Yeah.
So they're like, this could be the start of it. And then maybe then they're like, oh, you know, this website blocks this piracy. This website maybe says something bad about the government. Let's sneak that through
and
on the block list.
That's the way that's the way the Greens are looking at it at the moment.
Expand it, yeah, once it's in.
The Greens are...
Getting political now, Geddes.
Greens have made a social media campaign on Facebook regarding this, and it's getting shared around.
Very
I've seen quite a few friends saying, well, you know, you can block URLs for this purpose. Why does it stop you from doing it for other things? And we could be China next.
Don't they have like a porn filter in the UK?
I'm not quite aware.
I vaguely remember something about that. Maybe they're trying to push like a porn filter or something in the UK. That'd be a travesty.
Maybe something like that could happen as well.
Have to move to New Zealand.
I guess the only plus of the idea so far is the fact that they say, well, we'll review the laws after 18 months to see whether they're worthwhile or not. And, you know...
They're always worthwhile.
By the time 18 months are up, where are we at with the government? We could be...
you never know.
Changing, we could be changing leaders, new elections.
We stay hopeful, but I mean, you know,
someone might throw it out.
Things rarely change, though, don't they? Like once something's in, it's pretty much in. It's a lot harder to get out.
Yeah, in some cases, I mean, things have been reversed of late. You only have to look at the way the carbon tax charging was going to occur to the average person, and then the current government got in and went, nah. We're not having that now,
I guess.
And it's just been turned around. But even looking at that, you know, it hasn't completely been turned around to the end user because the power companies are still charging us ridiculous amounts of money, regardless of whether they need to be or not.
Yeah, so, time will tell, I guess.
Time will tell. Yeah. Time will tell. But it's certainly an interesting development here in Australia, and you know, other countries will be looking at what's going on here in Australia and either shaking their heads or thinking maybe it's an idea for us as well. But
what else have you been talking about this week?
What else? We've had a Canadian university that has been testing a drone. They're testing a drone.
Drones,
which, eh? Yeah, drones, which
a?
Are capable.
Say
A.
Drones,
eh? Drones, eh? Surviving Arctic Ocean waters. So
wait, what?
A drone which is capable of surviving the Arctic conditions.
Rough conditions, okay.
And cold conditions.
For what purpose?
Icy. It's very cold down there. They're looking at analysing the water, you know, things about temperature, organisms in the cold waters.
Science.
That sort of thing. Science,
for
yeah.
Science. Drones for science.
Drones
we'll
for science.
We'll attach laser beams to the top of the drones and carve smiley faces in the ice.
Well, it's not completely
That's
stupid.
What I
do they have God. They have a laser scanning system in it to be able to circumvent the thing icing up.
Let's investigate this yellow snow. Awfully suspicious.
Yeah, I would
Zoom.
Be awfully suspicious.
Zoom.
And how does yellow snow get into those particular areas
Arctic.
Of the world?
Ship going by. Toilets are locked up.
The amazing
sailor runs to the side of the boat. Much better.
I find the amazing.
It gets frozen before it even hits the ground.
Yeah, well.
This arc of yellow ice.
I wouldn't even be
prepared. Fly under the arc.
I wouldn't even be prepared to lift it out of the pocket in that sort of temperature. But you know, this has gone a bit. Left of field.
Yeah, what were we talking about?
Drones? We were talking about technology. We're talking about drones. I like the idea of the fact that they're using science to be able to create something which we haven't already had there in place because of you know Arctic conditions. You've got pressure issues when you go down to low depths. You've got the temperature issues, which you know. A human can't stand those conditions for long, let alone a machine for a great deal
they
of time.
They could be out there for hours scouting about surveys.
Because machines are mechanical and usually cold affects mechanics as well. So the fact that they've been able to work out some technology which self-contains all these parts and allows this thing to go, they say about 6,500
Six
feet.
Six and a half. With a Kiwi accent coming in there. Kiwi heritage.
Yes.
6,500
feet below the ice to collect data about what's going on down there to find out more about what is happening in that water, which they haven't been able to do in the past. So
I'm looking forward to drones in space.
That's an amazing idea.
Coming up next.
And drones in space. And they reckon, this is the bit that I can't believe.
Consumer drones in space.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That is forward thinking.
Can't wait.
They reckon this thing can run for 4 years at a time. down there.
On a single recharge.
On a single charge, a apparently. Single, but no, right. I
nuclear powered drones.
I don't
flying about the place.
No, no, that's scary. I can't comprehend the 4 years at a time idea. But the rest of it is quite amazing. You know, being able to find out what is going on underneath all that ice and cold temperatures. You know, the water is not something you'd think would be a great place for organisms to grow, but. They're going to have a look at that, and that's pretty awesome, I think. And the other thing that I was carrying, something you don't want to do yourself. A Russian engineer, a young engineer by the name of Vlad, has decided to implant his smart chip technology in his hand. He's decided the idea of carrying a wallet or even carrying a phone around is a bit too much. for his daily activities. So essentially what he's done is
he's like, what walks around in track pants all day? I don't have any pockets.
I don't have any pockets, so let's put it in my hand. Yeah. So he's done a process to separate the chip from the plastic cards. Then he's covered those in a silicone, which they usually use for breast implants.
Yeah.
And then cut a hole.
I just imagine he's like, very nice to meet you. And you shake his hand, you're like, ooh, wow. You have amazing hands. Let me shake it again.
He's put a slit in his hand, between the thumb and the finger.
As you do.
And slid this thing in there.
Is he like a doctor or anything?
No, this guy's not a doctor.
He just sliced his arm open, got some boob tissue and... In the go. Like
boob tissue.
Is it silicone?
Silicon.
Yeah.
Boob tissue. I like that one.
That's the tech term that they call it.
Who calls it that?
All the plastic surgeons that I hang out with.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Boob tissue. Someone might get offended if I call it boob tissue, though.
Look it up.
Yeah, it's just done this. I think it's pretty much DIY operation. It doesn't look like it's in a full operating theater or anything. Put these chips in and sewed it all up, and he's got like a 1.5-2 centimeter scar for a long time in his life now. But
this
he
is like
can,
his credit card they just put in his arm, pay wave sort of thing. He's like
boop. Like that thing, except it's a public transport card and the door card for his work, so he can just walk up and put his hand against the sensor and open
he's
doors.
Had no adverse reactions or anything. It's just...
No adverse reactions yet. I mean, he...
Is it that hard to carry a wallet?
He says... I know. He says it hasn't caused him any pain.
We don't have a mental health check on this guy. Is he a loon?
You have to wonder.
It's on the news.
Especially since he's ready to do it again. He wants to do it in his other hand, and he wants to put his credit card in there this time.
Why stop at cards? Let's take those keys. Why? Store some keys in there. Maybe your lunch.
Why do you even need to do that?
Forget a lunchbox.
These modern phones that we have.
Hide your sandwich in yourself, in your leg.
No.
What else could you do?
That's too far.
What else do you carry around?
Glasses? Put a little groove in your arm to
just have like a pouch in your leg or something. And you like a little slit in to go the glasses. Don't even need pockets. This guy is a revolutionary.
The only problem with that is cleaning.
Oh,
it wouldn't be very healthy.
Just a Ziploc bag.
So how do you put a Ziploc bag?
Just put your glasses in the bag, seal it up, and then put it in you.
Oh, no, not the glasses. I mean you. You wouldn't be very clean if you had a pocket like that.
No, but your object would be clean inside the Ziploc bag.
Your object would be clean.
I feel like he's not the first person to smuggle things inside himself. He's taken it to a practical step.
It has been around for a long time.
Is this legal? Can you do that?
And people use all sorts of orifices to store things as well.
Wow, this is a pretty exciting week. And you've been talking about this on the radio.
I've been talking about it on the radio.
Putting things inside you and
boob
tissue.
But not in that way. Okay. Wow. In a lot cleaner way. But it's certainly been interesting. Raised eyes.
What's been their reaction to that? Just like, oh,
yeah. People are,
amazed
at
Where
the fact
can I
that
get
there's,
it done?
There's a Russian who wants to do this sort of thing.
Well, that he's Russian.
You know, the gory detail and the video of being able to, watch him do these operations. There's a video
of him doing cutting himself.
There is a video of the process so that you can see what happened.
You do it and, yourself. He uploads it to like WikiHow or something. Oh, howto.com.
Yeah, howto or eWiki or something like that. Yeah, one of those FAQ sites.
Step one, get a scalpel.
I don't think I will ever be doing that, considering the fact that these modern smartphone things that we've got sitting around the studio here.
I bet you what's the thing, he probably carries his phone with him anyway.
He would.
Because he's got his phone in his pocket and he's just got that thing in his arm. But you just pull out your phone and get just, those apps and NFC and stuff and PayWave attachments.
That's exactly right.
Like, you don't need to cut yourself open to have like a really portable all-in-one device.
You don't.
I think
you
we
don't.
Need to find him and tell him this because I don't think anyone's told him.
I think he's a bit mad.
Can we look up his number?
I don't think
we'll have him on the show next.
I don't think I even want to talk to this fella. but it made it very interesting anyway. Mm. What have
is
you
that
been?
All you've been talking about?
Yeah, that's all I've been talking about
well,
this
that's
way.
Quite a lot. Well, I was thinking for the Fright Fest show, we should create some boundaries.
Boundaries?
Yeah. Well, not so much boundaries, but to sort of see where we stand on a line. So I'm very much an Android type of guy.
Yeah.
And I have an Android phone. Yeah. Galaxy Note 4 currently.
And you've got the Note 4.
Yes. And you have, you're an Apple.
I'm an Apple.
Would we go as far as to say fanboy, Apple fanboy?
I wouldn't say fanboy because...
Would you sway across to the other side if you found a really good product that met all your needs or would you stay loyal?
Well, if you have a look at it this way, I like the ease of use and functionality and styles of the iPhone, but I don't go on about how Apple is glorious and that they're... The people who have only come up with the best concepts
and you look down on
nothing
Android
is original.
Users.
I do make stabs at some Android users.
I feel like the longer we go on though and the more this stuff advances, they're just sort of more melding into sort of one that's
yeah.
Of
well they're sharing similar ideas and what I find is, you know, Android is a great phone for someone who likes to be able to go beyond what's set up. So, you know, the Android user has all sorts of groovy applications. They can customize it with, you know, different skins and be able to go into the software and edit things a bit more. Whereas an iPhone, you know, for someone who needs something that works and it's an easy-to-use smartphone and they've got, you know, great coverage in relation to warranties and that sort of thing. You know, they're a can't go wrong for that. They're easy to use.
So basically, you're an Apple fanboy. All right, moving on.
I'm not an Apple fanboy. I'm on the fence.
Okay, we'll try and sway you over the
course. But when I talk to Android people, I like to have stabs at
Android
them.
People are far superior in every way. I'm just saying.
And here's this
simple-minded folk.
And here's this thing about Android versus Apple. People just
Whatever
attacking each
vote,
other.
Man. Like, you know, if you're happy with Apple, that's all good.
It works.
Yeah. Does that translate? Are you more like? Does that then translate to say like PC or Mac? Or no.
No.
I know you have a Windows tablet, don't
I
you?
I wouldn't have thought so.
You have a
I have a Windows tablet. I have a Microsoft Surface Pro 3, yeah. Which is a very nice device. You know, I had an iPad, but I just found the work that I do in an average day, I had some difficulties doing it easily with an iPad. So I just went back to the idea of having a Surface tablet.
Because, nice to have the keyboard, isn't it?
Because it's a compact tablet. You can snap a keyboard on. It runs Windows, so it runs all the applications that I need to support in an average day because I do a bit of IT support on the side as well. Mm. And, you know, everything just works for what I need to do. So that's the only reason I'm there. I would have stayed with an iPad if I could do all of what I wanted comfortably because I had one.
So you're very much like whatever's practical and what I need, you're not too picky about.
I'm not too picky. I had a Mac at one stage as well.
If only more people could be like you, I think the world would be a happier place.
Well, the world can be happy without needing to be neutral on everything. I mean, you need some variance with people out there, otherwise everything would be boring.
Yeah, keep it fresh.
If we were all neutral, there'd be nothing fun in life, would there?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's mildly depressing. Hey, are you a fan of wireless charging?
Am I a fan of wireless charging? You know, if I had some devices that were capable of doing wireless charging, I reckon it'd be an awesome thing. Because, you know, you get that situation where you come home after a big day you know, you have to, you settle down for the night, and then you want to go to bed, and you've been fiddling around with your phone all night. Mm. And in my situation, it doesn't have wireless charging. So I just drop it down and then wake up in the morning and I've got no charge. I'm just about flat. And the only way I have of charging it then is to charge it in the car on the way to work, or while I'm sitting down at a desk at work.
With a plug and a wire.
With a plug, yes.
Archaic.
Which is challenging.
Well, here's some news for you. The the Qi wireless charging, is it Qi, the QI?
Oh, okay, yeah.
They've come up with a new sort of system for the wireless charging.
Mm-hmm.
You can now get up to 15 watts of power available to it, which is a huge boost over previously. And they're stating, it's not available yet, but you can get up to 60%, this is what they're saying, I guess depending on the battery, in 30 minutes.
60% in 30 minutes.
That's pretty good.
And being able to pump 15 watts out, if you look at the average mobile phone, usually the charges are between 5 and 10 watts.
Mm.
So,
and I think like the thing previous is like, oh yeah, wireless charging, maybe not too many devices have them, and you can get them with third party like support. Like you can put it onto your phone, those contact things that contact the battery, and then you can put it on. But it's a lot of hassle, and the charging's slow and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot slower than the cable, especially now with cables, like Samsung phones and others have the fast charging now available where they pump out more power.
You
can charge in a ridiculous amount of time. So I think this is a huge step forward into wireless charging in the future. Especially now that they're becoming more available on more devices and things like this, where like the S6 comes standard with wireless charging built in. I think moving forward, most phones will probably come with wireless charging built in. So that's pretty awesome.
It'll take some time to adopt by manufacturers because, you know, not all manufacturers are keen on going with the latest and greatest idea, but it'll be there eventually on most phones.
So, 10 years for Apple then.
Is there a standard that they have for this sort of thing?
No, I think it's pretty open to sort of third parties, and I guess whoever develops it first.
Because if all the phone manufacturers agree to a standard on this,
yeah, I don't think there's a standard. They
could certainly move forward in a faster pace. Because I've found that to happen, like what USB 3 would have been the last example.
Yeah,
of
now they're working on the new one, aren't they?
Being agreed, and then it just rolled out, and you know, there was a point where there was probably more devices than equipment supported out with USB 3, even though it was, you know, backwards compatible.
Mm.
But there was more USB 3 devices ready to go before the actual hardware became free flowing in the market, if you put it that way.
I can't wait till there's wireless charging that doesn't require a pad or a contact service. Just like have it in your room charging.
How would you accomplish that though? You'd still have to have some sort of physical pad somewhere to do it.
Just like, I guess, the same way you sort of transmit over Wi-Fi. Well, somehow harness that.
Well, someone was talking about trying to transfer energy over waves.
It'll happen eventually.
So that's scary, I reckon. Just personally.
Well, I look forward to it.
You look forward to it. Yeah, but it's innovative.
Just charge,
it's handy.
Constantly charge wherever you go. I think we're a while off on that.
Yeah, it's handy, but it's kind of scary too.
I think we'll start seeing wireless charging pads just everywhere you go before we see that. Like in cafes, we'll just have some pads. You sit down, have a coffee, put your phone down, get a charge. Airport lounges, you know, some of them already have them. Sit down in the lounge, get a charge.
Well, now I recall IKEA's trying to roll out that sort of idea.
Like built-in wireless charging on
built-in charging. I think at this point it's only at a USB-style charge, but I'd say they'd adapt something like that when there's more phones out there that, you know, have the functionality to them. Hmm.
I can't wait to be on 100% 24/7.
But is there a need for that?
Yes.
There really isn't a need because the problem you then have is batteries have a memory issue. And after a while, if your battery is solidly charged and doesn't get a chance to discharge and erase that memory of that action, it depletes itself.
We'll address that issue.
And then you end at that situation where you've got to keep replacing the batteries because you're just not looking after them. So anyone with a current battery right now, I'm just going to be Mr. Tip Man.
Here we go.
In regards to this.
If
you find you charge often, at least discharge a phone completely once a week or once a fortnight to completely dead, like, you know, 2% or something, and then give it a full charge and keep going on then, because that'll keep the life of your battery in your phone or your device going a lot longer. And I've found situations where, you know, people can do laptops out of batteries within a year and a half, and mine will go for 2 and 3 years quite comfortably before they start showing issues of being able to hold the capacity. And that's great, you know. And then my iPhone, I'll get 2 or 3 years out of those before the battery depletes to the point that it's no longer as functional as it was. So it's not hard, but...
Charge from dead. Hey, did you see this? The Facebook recognition system on
Facebook.
Photos.
Is that the face recognition thing?
Yeah, well, or lack of face recognition thing. Facebook now has algorithms and protocols in place where they can now recognize you without even seeing your face.
How does that work?
So they just take like your body shape, maybe your hair color.
But from what?
Your general sort of, from past photos.
Oh, okay.
So once they kind of know who you are.
Yep.
And like, hey, this is Trent. They can now get a photo of, say, you from behind and still
work out that you're Trent.
How crazy is that? They don't even need your face. They can just have like a shadowy blurb in the corner of a room.
And
Getty's passed out over there. That's insane.
What use is this, though? That's a little bit concerning as well.
If you're having a photo and you put it on Facebook, don't you kind of want to be in it?
Well, sometimes you do, but sometimes you don't.
You're trying to hide in the background, and there's no hiding now anymore.
I put a situation where I've been at functions held by my employer, and you know, you're all having a good night, but you're off in the back of the crowd somewhere, and you're just catching up with a couple of other people, and then someone's walking around with their smartphone flicking photos of the whole room, and then they go and upload them straight to Facebook because their life is on Facebook, and you're on Facebook, someone's gone and tagged you of the back of your head, and it's like, well, I don't want to be tagged in the back of my head.
Well, now they'll be able to tell.
Can tell.
Imagine like you call in sick for work and you're at like a music festival or something, and someone takes a picture on the official page, and then you get auto tagged. The boss sees it. Like, weren't you sick today? I see nothing but downsides to this. If you're just like sort of slurring around in the background and moving about, and you're like this blob, and someone takes like a really hideous photo of you, and then bam, there it is. I don't like it.
I know you can remove the tag yourself, but you don't necessarily know you've been tagged until after something's happened. Like someone's commented on the fact that the back of your head is in that shot, and then you realize it, and it's already too late.
This could be the beginning of apps. There has been talk about this. I've seen it sort of about the place, but apps basically like sort of your augmented reality type app, basically you get your camera out, and then you say at a music festival, you've lost your friends. Get the app out, sort of hold it up in the air, spin around. You have no idea where your friends are, but the app, using this sort of these algorithms and technology, will pick out your friends from, you know, that you would not even see where they are.
That would be kind of handy.
Like, where's Geddes? I lost him. But redhead.
First thing you need at that music festival, though, is mobile reception, because a lot of them don't have it.
Yeah, that's true. But that sort of application, I think, could be really cool.
That would be very neat.
What else have we been talking about? Oh, I saw this. This is crazy. It popped up. A 200 gigabyte micro SD card.
A 200? Run that by me again, because I was looking at my screen.
200
gigabyte.
Gigabytes.
200 gigabyte.
Micro SD card. Is that not insane?
That is really...
Like, say a week ago, we're thinking, oh, yeah, you got 16, yeah, it's pretty cheap. You're 32, 64, you can get 128s. Really expensive, but why would you need that much? And now they've come out with a 200 gigabyte.
Why wouldn't you need 128?
What are you going to do with 200 gig of SD card? Videos? Like, you can put your whole movie collection on your phone?
My situation...
That's insane. Is that not crazy?
My situation where you don't back up very often and you tend to just take lots of stuff.
200 gigabyte.
Take lots of stuff.
Crazy.
But the thing is, the thing that makes it crazy is the fact that, you know, rewind 10 years and we didn't have this in our phones. We didn't have the smartphones that we have now. We, you know, it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah, we're up to 200.
Amazingly mind-blowing. 200 gigabyte. I wonder what they're priced at.
About $310
is $310.
$239 US.
It's actually not too bad considering if you look at solid state versus mechanical drives and the fact that when they came out, you know,
it was cheap now,
$150, $200 just for, say, 128 gigabytes. And now, you know, that same drive would be about $90.
Yeah, hopefully this will like bring the price down of the other ones as well.
You would hope so. You would hope so.
128.
Because if you look at it like even thumb drives, you get 16 gig drives for about $8.
I assume this storage thing will also translate to, you know, your USB thumbsticks and stuff like that. But then what about the phones that don't release with the expandable storage? You know, making kind of useless. I guess it has other applications aside from phones. You know, cameras.
Cameras is one good place.
Tablets and things like that, but cameras as well. You can get a lot of, like, you know, your raw photos. Mm. If you're a photographer, just get tons of them. I don't know why you need that. I mean, I think it's ridiculous.
We've gone so long managing
with such little storage, and compression's got so good now that we're gonna have so much storage and such good compression. We're gonna have like millions of photos on an SD card.
You can look,
but
at,
I guess it's we can have high res photos, high bit rate,
and you can look at it in a form of mobile redundancy as well. Like you can have a couple of these.
Get rid of expandable storage, but incorporate the same technology and offer 200 gigabyte mobile phone storage. Right, build it into the phone.
Have additional slots.
You wouldn't even need like
so. You can have two cards and then swap data between those. And
speaking of other cool phone tech, I saw this as well. Does this sound familiar? Flare One. Or Flir One, F-L-I-R One.
Oh,
Flir One.
Filler or Flir?
I'm calling it Flir. Basically, turns your phone into an infrared camera.
You can do it on your phone now. Yeah. I've actually played with one of these devices. The dedicated device. I went to a conference about 4 weeks ago, which was all about community broadcast technology. And one guy had a session where he brought heaps of gadgets out and just passed them around the room.
One of them was an infrared camera.
Yep. Yeah, this infrared camera. And so it's got a germanium lens.
Tell you how much it was?
Oh, it was quite some money. I think it was well over $1,000 at least. Germanium camera. And, you know, your plain example was we were up the back near the urn for the coffees and that. So you just point this thing at it and within about 15 seconds, you can see the temperature of the water. You can see all the mechanical parts in which the heating is done. So the element, you can see the shape of the element, and you can see all the piping where the water is traveling through to your cup in the end.
That'll come in handy, you know, when you're pouring water.
But you look at it from a radio broadcast point of view. Transmission towers, they're big, tall, bloody things, and often it's hard to be able to do fault finding. So in the sense of if something's overpowering something and there's burning going on in a cable, you can just point this thing up and be able to see the heat in the cable. And so that's a perfect situation. But I have gone off topic. So
I don't know how accurate those, you know, I mean, you know, how good quality, the, you know, probably the dedicated infrared could probably do something like that.
But
these
the smartphone
consumer ones
versions
are probably a little bit things. So it's basically like a dongle type thing that you plug into your USB, your micro USB on your phone. It comes with like, you know, the camera attached to it. And there's an app and it goes through that. Yeah, very cool. I was trying to think what you would, you know, what practical applications you'd use it for. It's about $250, which is
that's
bad.
That's good. That is very
US,
good.
It's a bit more Aussie dollar.
Very good.
And that's available for iPhone right now. Android, of course, coming a little bit later.
A bit later on,
I reckon July, but things tend to take a bit longer.
You know, when one practical situation I'd find for that in a home use.
Wait, this is okay. Let's see if this is what I thought of too.
So we've got a pest problem in our house. In the roof.
Rabbits.
No, not rabbits. Rats.
Yeah.
Rats. And you know, to be able to effectively manage the eradication of them, I could actually get this thing and go scanning around for heat in these rats. And
so
like,
you're looking for the rats.
You could look for the rats through walls with this app.
I want to admit, can we get this and you can do that and we see how well
we might have to have a go at it. I might be able to find a test device.
One of the applications that they were talking about is, and this is the only one I can think of, is using it to locate like leaks or drafty spots in your house.
Yes. And that,
so you can
and that's,
see where maybe you have a cold spot in your house. you're not too sure where it's coming from, quick scan of your room.
There it is.
There it is, and you can maybe address it.
And I have got one.
Which is kind of handy, but beyond that, I don't really know what you'd, I guess, have a muck around at the office.
I've got another practical.
Maybe in the bedroom.
Well,
could be a bit of fun.
The one that always came up at the conference when people were playing around with the device was putting their hand on the table for about 5 seconds, pulling it off, and then watching the handprint
disappear. Thinking about putting my hand on something else, but on the table's fine too, I guess. So that's cool. So we should look at getting one of these.
That is groovy gadgets, and they're not too expensively priced. Like the average punter can throw some money on it and have these functions.
Smartphones will be your all-in-one. Everything you need. Like, you can already get extra attachments to your phone that you can turn it into pretty much like a professional DSLR camera.
Yeah.
Lenses on
it. All these lens kits, you never imagined when you got the smartphone.
A full movie on one of these things.
That you could have this hulking great bloody lens on the end of it to be able to improve what is there. We didn't even imagine these things when they first come out, but now they're here. Amazing. It truly amazing.
Uber. Did you hear about the Uber scenario?
Uber was in strife, they've always been in strife. They've had lots of countries.
The riots in France currently going on? Or not riots, but like a protest.
I didn't see anything about protests. Maybe I'm living a sheltered life.
No, it was like just yesterday or today, even sort of over night.
Mm.
Basically, taxi drivers in France protesting the Uber drivers over there. And they're threatening to block roads to airports and the main roads and stuff just to have like this huge protest. And it's really turned into something like violent. They've had to release the riot police to try and stop this sort of thing. And it's crazy to think of like an app, right? Essentially an app created for your phone that you can get easy transport for cheap, really quick, but and anyone can do it, earn a bit of money on the side. And now it's turned into something so global. And what are the repercussions of that?
Like? Well, the underlying issue in every country that I've looked at when it comes to Uber is the fact that they don't like the fact that, they've set up regulations for taxi services and then these guys just appear and start allowing average people to become drivers, even though there is a safety net in the system which allows each passenger to rate the driver based on the kind of character they are, so that, if there's someone who is doing the wrong thing, they get turfed out. But
it's like all the regulations and licensing fees that have been in place for, X amount of years.
And these guys aren't paying.
To it. Yeah, and Uber just comes along, make an app, and you're like, oh, yeah. And then, it kind of seems kind of weird that not bound by that same regulation.
Yeah.
Get this, how much do you think a taxi license, like one-off fee, would cost you?
A one-off fee for a taxi driver
in Paris
and their car,
France. So it's like a licensing fee. It's about $270,000 US dollars.
And if they tried
Uber, they don't even need to do that. They're not, it's crazy.
And if they tried to charge that here in Australia, there would be outrage. I mean, half the people who are honest, average taxi drivers here in the country don't even earn enough to really keep. In some cases.
Yeah, and then here comes charging. Like Uber coming along.
Yeah, those guys are coming along.
What do you think? The future of Uber? What do you reckon? I think they'll probably start imposing regulations, having to pay similar fees to the taxi drivers and abide by the same regulations, and then they kind of get priced basically similar to the taxi drivers.
In Australia, I think they're going to be forced into regulation. So to be able to continue in the country and to continue legally without all this business of drivers getting fined and lawsuits being put upon Uber and all that sort of stuff, they're going to have to conform to some sort of regulatory system. But in the end, they're still going to win because if they can prevent the amount of licensing that's imposed on individual drivers and if Uber tries to pay those for the drivers rather than the drivers needing to front up the costs, it could still be ahead in the game because the main model of this taxing system that Uber presents is is, you know, allows anybody who is a keen driver, who is a reasonable driver, to be able to pick up passengers.
It's a very appealing idea, right?
And save money
off the street, and you can earn money.
Yeah, and it's appealing from the
I want to do it.
It's appealing from the passenger point of view too, because I mean you.
It's very cool.
You can see the people that are around before you get your taxi, and as soon as you say...
It's basically what taxi the service should be now in this day and age. And I feel like they got left behind, and then Uber came along and said, hey, this is how it should be done now.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it shouldn't. It should be done our old way.
Yeah, you see all the taxi drivers that are around, and you go, I want a taxi to this location, and the nearest person gets a ping, and... they come around to pick you up and that's it. Whereas the current taxi system, it's like comes into a big pool and says, well, these people need taxis and any old driver can take it. And this driver could be 5 minutes away from you, but there could be one just around the corner. And so you have to put up with that taxi driver taking 5 minutes to get to you and then you getting to the destination rather than just pulling the next available driver. And then you've got the issues of... you know, some drivers aren't tidy. Some of them aren't clean. Some of them aren't friendly. All that sort of thing.
I think they have to step up their game. I think it's good because they have to step up their game to a service that Uber is providing currently. But I think at the same time, Uber needs to step up and, you know, get on board with the regulations and the laws and sort of get on equal standards to the taxi drivers and then just offer a competitive service.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen eventually. But like, I think at the moment they're trying to get away with as
they're
much
trying
as
to get away with blue murder, but
the legal
given the amount of money,
on, but
given
yeah, they have, oh, they, yeah. they have more than enough.
They've got more than enough.
If one
money
of their Uber drivers
happening.
Get caught out in a legal dispute in amongst all of this, Uber, they come out and they pay for all your legal fees and they'll cover you. Like they got your back. So they have, and they built this whole new headquarters. Did you see this?
Didn't actually
look it up, like the pictures of their headquarters. It's like amazing, like brand new building, like super building of the future, what you'd expect to be. So they're splashing money all over.
Is that over in the US somewhere or
their headquarters, yeah, could be like San Francisco or something like that. Don't quote me on it.
That's amazing, isn't it? Tech startups.
So much, yeah, it's the future, man. It's like we gotta start something.
It's where everything's happening. So big idea online, off you go.
We were talking about Apple before.
Only briefly.
Apple Music.
Yes.
Streaming. And, you know, the whole... I almost don't want to say this, but it is tech-related kind of.
Yeah.
But the Taylor Swift thing.
Oh, the furore about...
her music.
Not only Taylor Swift.
Yeah, well...
Other artists.
So Taylor Swift was the big one.
So, essentially, what is it? The start of July, they want to offer 3-month trials to everyone for this new service.
It's their new streaming service.
Yeah. Free 3-month trials. But... on the other hand, they don't want to pay any of the artists during those 3 months. They want everyone to have everything for free and no one make any money and whatnot.
They did say that they would pay like sort of higher royalties down the line for listens to try and make up for the trial.
But the ultimate from the people who did number crunching said it didn't end up working out in the end.
But this is the thing though, if you're on board and you've kind of been reading around the news, there has been some people together saying the whole thing was... contrived and constructed.
Orchestrated, yes.
The Apple, well, the conspiracy theory out there is that, you know, Apple and Taysway working together.
Yeah. Well, back to your original artist,
does,
Taylor.
It does seem a bit like too soon, too quick. Like things just happen so quick. So she originally came out and said, I'm pulling my album from Apple streaming. Yeah. I don't want it a part of it. And then they're like, oh, well, no, Taysway is saying all this stuff. Let's listen to her. And then Apple's all like, no, what can we do? And then they come and then she does that letter. She writes an open letter to them saying, oh, you've letting down the little guy. And this is a big thing for independent artists. Meanwhile, she can easily say that earning millions of dollars.
Yeah, she's not an independent artist anymore.
And I was like reading stuff about independent artists being like, no, we want the exposure that Apple like gives us, because it's all about getting your name out there and the exposure and money when you're just starting out and being an indie band. Like you don't really care too much about the money. You want people listening to you. You want to get your name out there and then the music and the money will come later.
But it is helpful if you have a bit of a stream.
Oh, yeah, but you know.
It won't be much.
First, get your name out there. And I think a lot of people were saying, like, we're happy just to try and get our name out there.
Yeah.
The more people listening to us, obviously we can grow our brand and, you know, that's it's really great. And then Apple responds to this letter. And they say, oh, you know what, we'll pull the trial and we'll allow...
Yeah.
And so you don't have to do the trial.
Yeah. Everyone's getting paid.
It's a free trial, but we'll be paying the artists for the period.
And then,
and almost like the next day, she's like, oh, that's so kind of you, Apple. I'm going to bring my album to your streaming service.
And your service is going to be the exclusive
for my next album. For a while. Is that not crazy? So the whole thing just like happened sort of day after day, like it was planned out just so Apple could get all this publicity about their new streaming service, awfully convenient. Taylor Swift gets publicity about her new album. And in the end, they all come together and like, oh, the people, yeah, we won against Apple. Yeah, but we're still going to, I don't know. I'm kind of like, it's hard not to believe that the whole thing wasn't sort of,
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's a lovely bit of publicity for a company who has enough money to spill all the traditional...
They can always afford to pay out the artists in that trial.
Yes, spill all the traditional ideas of streaming music services. You find a situation like here in Australia where you can have one of half a dozen different providers, but they've only got a certain amount of music libraries each. Whereas Apple's got the money to have them all. And that's what they plan to do. They plan to rule the streaming providers.
You see, Google now is coming out with, they're trying to put together a streaming service. Like Google.
Well, they've already.
They've already got one.
Google Music.
And you can stream your own music and stuff.
Yeah.
But this is going to be like a streaming service to try and compete with the Apple.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think a company like Google should do that because.
Google got their hand in everything. I was reading earlier that they want to do also, they're coming up with a new, cloud source repositories?
Yeah.
Which is like the GitHub.
Not everything has worked that Google has run in the past.
They're trying though. Like,
cause,
it's good. I think competition's good.
Because Google decided at one point in time, just from the point of view of my industry, they decided to get into radio. So they
Google
start,
Radio.
No, they went to radio automation software.
Ah, okay.
So they bought one of the old systems which a lot of our metro markets use, which is called Maestro. And they decided to do some changes to it and modernized it and everything. But it wasn't getting the traction that they wanted. So they ended up selling the product off to another company, I should say. And a company called Wide Orbit owns it now, only because it failed as being Google. It wasn't a Google-centric product. It wasn't the kind of thing Google usually does with their customer base. Mm. So
well,
it
Google
failed.
Come up with all new projects all the time. Remember Google Wave?
Yeah, Google Wave.
To replace that, emails.
That ended up
dying.
Dying too, didn't it?
Yeah. And they're also trying, Twitch TV, gaming, streaming.
Oh,
website.
Yeah.
They're now coming, like YouTube side of thing. They're going to try and offer like a streaming service as well. So they're trying to get across everything, basically. Can't blame them, though.
You can't blame them.
Everything,
they've
got
a lot of money.
The internet will now soon be known as just Google.
Google.
I'm just going to go on the Google.
I'm just going to go on Google
just across everything.
Go online to Google and I'll just...
We're talking about Google Radio.
Yeah.
Why not?
Google Radio.
Eventually. Apple are going to be trying doing something similar with their music. Do you see that? They want to get artists to come in and have shows where you can listen an hour of... The Elton John show or something.
Beats
like that.
One online. It's gonna be a bit like have you heard of satellite radio in the US?
Yeah.
Sirius XM.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So essentially you can have two or three dozen channels that have got all sorts of different content. Not all of them have live presenters, but there are channels that have live presenters. And those presenters can present from anywhere. There's a fella by the name of Spider Harrison who doesn't even work in an office. He works in his downstairs basement of his house.
and he's got a link
to satellite radio, so he can just record his breaks at his house and it goes out online.
It's like you need a subscription. Yeah. And you need the player.
Yeah, the device. Unless you use online, because you can get applications on your mobile phone as well.
Yeah, you can still stream. But I mean, think everything's going to be sort of streamed online, I think, and ad-supported. Paying for services is...
Well, yeah, maybe in the future. Oh, this is the Sirius. I'm just showing Will the Sirius XM app. So I've got this on my phone. I kind of broke some rules to be able to get it because it's not available to people outside the US.
So wait, do you have to pay for that?
You can get a free trial.
How long does that last?
30 days.
Oh, are you on that now?
Yes.
And then how much is the subscription?
I think the subscription's anywhere up to about $20 or so. For this sort
and
of
yeah, everything
base.
On satellite radio, you can have access.
Yeah,
to
so it. You can go to music channels. There's like half a dozen music channels.
Can you see previous content?
Oh,
there we go.
Some music.
Can you see previous Can you go back and like browse retroactively, like past shows?
You can go back and listen to previous shows, the big programs, the ones with presenters.
Howard Stern, we can go back and
see his archive. Yeah, you can go back and listen to his previous shows.
He made it famous, didn't he? He really brought it into the spotlight when he left and went on to.
He did, because he left terrestrial radio and in satellite radio, there's no regulations over profanity and all that sort of thing. So he can just talk about anything he bloody likes, as long as he's not.
It's good, isn't it?
As long
you
as he's
do
not
that over the podcast.
As long as he's not defaming someone, he can do that. And you know, the world's his oyster. I think that wraps things up for our first look at podcasting. You know, while the idea of podcasting is not a new thing,
I only found out about it today.
It's a new idea for us to do a podcast, so we're playing with things, and you know, it kind of worked all right.
Tech Wrap.
We can do some more things in the future.
More filling than a burrito.
Tech Wrap. We'll do another Tech Wrap next time.
Just as filling as a burrito.
Just as filling as a burrito.
Almost.
Yes, almost as filling as a burrito.